Welcome back to the Six Out Culture Podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Danny and Franchette. How's it going, guys? You good?
Hey, guys. I'm fantastic.
What's up, boys?
The birds are singing. The sun is shining. UV's back to winning ways.
And the money's in the ref's pockets. We'll get into that one later on.
And it's cold in Canada, so.
Yeah, it's freezing. I'm currently freezing as I'm recording this. I think we all are. It's bad. But, I'm back. I missed the last episode. We've all been pretty busy throughout the past, 2 months or so, but we're finding ways to get past it. We're still, sending out content on social media, Instagram, Twitter. If you want to follow that, it's at @SixSideCulture. And, we're back here to recap the Serie A match day 8. The Champions League and Europa League this week, we won't be able to really recap because obviously recording today. The matches are actually going on as we speak for the Champions League, the first set of matches of the week. Milan's currently losing to Porto 1-0, and Inter's up 3-1 against Sheriff Tiraspol, if I said that name right. Probably not. Probably Sheriff. But, Champions League won't be recapped, but I'm sure next week we'll brush over it quickly and share our thoughts on everything that went down in the Champions League as well, if anything, exciting happens. Well, yeah, back to our bread and butter, the Serie A. This past weekend, we had some interesting matches, some controversy, some, just cool things happened, really. Napoli continuing their incredible run to start off the year. I think they tied the record then, if I'm not mistaken, for
or beat it. For us, we did. We can beat it next on Sunday if we beat Roma, but that's gonna be a very tough match.
Yeah, so you're basically guaranteed to break it then. I guess we'll brush over that one too before we end off. We'll talk about that game a little bit. But yeah, to start off here, obviously a lot of places where we can start. I said we start off with Lazio Inter. Lots of controversy in that match, obviously. We'll get into that at the end of the game because that's when it happened. But anyway, we opened up Perisic, quick pen, 1-0 for Inter. And I really thought Inter would win this game. I know sometimes the big teams off the international break tend to struggle because, most teams, because you don't have practice properly throughout the week, you have maybe one or two, and then you go straight into the game. So it's kind of tough to really, gel back together. And then, as the game went on, Immobile tied up with a pen, of course, on a pen, Immobile. And, the game was looking good. Lots of controversy at the end of the match. Felipe Anderson got a goal off some controversial things that happened there with Lautaro Martinez. People are saying, he continued to play first, and then he went down. There's a whole lot of things that happened there. People are saying that, Lautaro continued playing on, so it should have been, it's okay if Lazio played on. Some people are saying Lazio should have kicked it out, and there's a whole lot of stuff going on there, but at the end of the day, they counted a goal, Anderson scored, and it was never a situation of counting a goal or not. It was a situation of just, your moral respect, usually when someone's down, you kick the ball out of bounds. They didn't really have to, unless it's a head injury, but Lazio played on and they scored, and took the lead. And then at the end, Milinkovic Savic, who's been pretty good this season, getting back to his old form, people used to see him when he was linked to United for, I think, 120 million, if I'm not wrong, he was linked to for a couple of years ago. And, Lazio took this one. Disappointing for Inzaghi, who returned to the Stadio Olimpico for the first time since joining Inter. And, entertaining match overall. Lots of controversy, lots of talk after the game. But I'm interested to hear what you guys think. So, Dan, if you want to start off, what you think about the game?
Yeah, it was what a match. When Inter took the lead, I thought Lazio were going to come back. Or maybe if they did, maybe get a goal. Because they really didn't impress me too much throughout the match until getting that goal. It was very controversial. I saw a lot of fans mix emotions, but at the end of the day, they counted it. So you have to just move on sometimes. But it was very controversial. But then all of a sudden, the floodgates just opened and Lazio got the win. And at the end of the game, it was really weird to see Luis Felipe jump on Correa after getting the red card. I know they were, I think they, a few people said that they were friends, but at the end of the game, you don't do that stuff, especially after a caliber match like that. Lazio got the win. Very impressive display from Sarri. That's two wins now, I believe, right, Enzo? Prior to the coming, before the break and after the break?
I think Yeah. The derby was 2 weeks before the break, so the derby, one more match, and then they put it. I think they won a week later, though, too. I can double check right now.
Yeah, but they've been on the roll. Lazio has a lead the last two games. Always nice if you're a Lazio fan to beat the likes of Inter, to beat these big teams, just for their like Europa League spot or Champions League spot.
Never mind, they lost 3-0 to Bologna. I forgot about that after the derby.
It was a nice bounce back win.
I forgot about that game.
From Lazio to beat Inter. Inter in the second half, you could tell that the international break was catching up with them. They didn't look as crisp as they did in the first half. And it's all teams like that, all these big teams that have a lot of players that go out. When they come back from international break, they don't look as sharp. Napoli are the kings of that. If we had to play every game after an international break, we'd probably be in 10th place. Back to the Lazio and Inter match. It was a very entertaining match as a neutral. And if you were an Inter fan or Lazio fan, your heart must have been racing up and down. But it was a very entertaining match, and what a good way to start the week.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Dan and Enza. I think this game as a neutral is very entertaining to watch. Obviously, I was expecting a much closer game. I was expecting a draw out of this, but you know, Lazio proved that they're the better team this week with Maurizio Sarri ball. You know, I'll always love Sarri ball from what he did with Juve. I'll always love that man and his cigarettes and his little notebook that he used to write in. But I feel like the controversy that happened was a little taken out of context a bit. I feel like if Lautaro played on and he started to play on, then there should be no complaints on how Lazio played on, because if he didn't lose the ball, they wouldn't care about the injury. So, you know, it's just the dirty Inter trying to cheat their way out of the goal. They were mad that they conceded. The team wasn't focused, and they got caught lacking. But my favorite moment in the game was Luis Felipe jumping on Correa. It's the most disrespectful thing he could have done, even though they're friends. Maybe do that after the game, after the whistle's blown or something. But for the fact that he just jumped on Correa after he lost.
It was after the game. Him and his team lost the whistle, right?
Right after the whistle.
That's why he was sent off.
It's just so funny to think about it. Like, you just lose a game against your former team, and some guy, Luis Felipe, just jumps on you, celebrating to mock you. I know, like, after he said he didn't, like, mean to, like, mock him or disrespect him or anything, but it's just, like, if you're in today, you're pissed. I was laughing when it was happening. It was just, like, what's this idiot doing? But I feel bad for Luis Felipe. Obviously, he didn't mean any harm or disrespect, but it's how it was relayed. But it was funny. But for the game itself, it was very, very entertaining. Obviously, Felipe Anderson, he's coming back into form. He's going back into that Lazio Felipe Anderson we saw a couple of years ago. So it's good to see for the league. And Maurizio Sarri's really using him well and using this team well and starting to gel together. Obviously, we had that Bologna game, 3-0. But with Sarri, he always knows how to beat the big teams and beat the favorites and come out on top of as dark horses. So that's what Sadi's good at. And who knows how he could form this team throughout the season as it goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Sadi's a great coach. And yeah, I think Sarri ball will take time for Lazio to really be consistent with it. Because if you look at it, they 1 week they beat a big team, and the next week they was 3-0 in Bologna. And then I think they drew to, who was it? It might have been a smaller team early on. Was it Cagliari? I'm not too sure, but
They drew to Cagliari, Torino.
Yeah, so they're very inconsistent, and I think with Sarri ball, like, I'm sure you saw his Juventus man when he first came, it wasn't an immediate impact. It takes time to really learn the way Sarri wants him to play. And this season not going to win anything, but if he stays there for maybe 2 or 3 years at a time, we might see a change down the line in consistency in this Lazio side. But yeah, as of right now, they're getting results in big games and they're really struggling in the smaller games, which usually it's the opposite effect. But yeah, great game, lots of entertainment, lots of talk about it. And I really enjoyed that one. We also had Milan Verona, which I feel like, you know, Juve fan, Napoli fan, Roma fan, Inter fan, if you're watching the game, you're saying, oh, they're not 2-0. Thank God. Milan's going to drop points. It's looking good. And that did not happen at all. Giroud, who seems to always score, I'm not just saying for Milan, I'm saying his whole career, whenever a game seems out of reach
he always scores when the chips are down. Always when the chips are down, he always scores.
Yeah, he always comes out. That's why he's a great signing for a very good deal and not much at all. So, Leao has been incredible for Milan. Great ball in from him. I really thought he was about to lose the ball then, and he crossed it in, and great play from Giroud to get ahead to it. And, great goal. When they scored that, I still didn't really think much of it. Then the penalty, I know people have their own opinion on it. Some people are saying, Milan always seem to get a penalty whenever they're in a tough spot in the game. I know last season, did they break the record for penalties, or they got close at least? I know that.
Yeah, I think they got really close to it. They were like one or two off or something.
Yeah, they almost tied or broke the record for most penalties in a Serie A season. So, and it seemed like it always came when they needed it last season. And people were all talking about that once Kessié put away that penalty for them to tie it up. And then that own goal might have been the weirdest own goal I've ever seen.
One of the worst own goals I've ever witnessed in my life.
And it was a nice finish, but just the wrong net. Like, the way he hit it too, it looked like he meant to do it. Like, it looked like he was trying to put it in. Like,
I'm pretty sure he could have tried that 100 more times and it will never go in.
Yeah, it's just... Even the way, like, the direction he swung his leg and didn't look like he was trying to clear. It looked like he was trying to score. Like, I don't know what he tried there. He panicked, and nice finish, I guess, but just on the wrong side of the field this time. If it was the first half, then maybe it would be a different story. But, Milan came out with the win. This Milan team just seems to always find a way to come back or win the game when everything's looking down. In that Juve match, Juve looked incredible, and then Milan pulled it back towards the end. And this kind of reminded me of that one as well. They looked like a mess early on, and then they really got themselves together. And that's what happened when you go... They didn't win the Serie A last year, but, they had a really good run up until Christmas and even January. And when you have a run like that, you really know how to win games when you need to. And they've been doing that under Pioli. So credit to Milan. They remain undefeated in the Serie A. And, great win. But, Dan, what do you think about it?
Yeah, no, when I saw Verona up 2-0 early, I was like, okay. Like, they can probably get a result from this. They can probably get something. And then when I saw Milan, Gudrulu get the goal, I was a little concerned because for me, I wanted Milan to lose, obviously, because for the first place, because Napoli were yet to play. And then all of a sudden, I see 2-2 with the penalty. I go, here we go. Moments later, Milan get the own goal. I'm like, but can this game get any worse? Like, because Verona, they didn't play bad at all. Like, prior to the second half, I thought they played a very strong game. They were attacking Milan, they were giving it to Milan, especially at the San Siro. It's always a tough place to play. And just the way they just conceded 3 goals, I may argue that maybe if this was Ivan Juric, I don't think they would have conceded those 3 goals, maybe 1 or 2. But who knows with this coach, I guess he forgot to put his philosophy on defending the lead. But overall, you got to give Milan credit. They had the character to come back. They didn't give up. Giroud set the tone with that big goal. And then a well-placed penalty from Kessié. Again, a little debate on the penalty, but for me, I saw it as a penalty. So Milan, they're going to make it hard for this year. And Napoli, they need to stay consistent. So we got to keep our... we got to watch out for Milan because they seem... When the chips seem to be down, they always find a way to pick up the 3 points or pick up the key points that they need. And it was a very entertaining match also, too. So 2 for 2 this week with entertainment involving big teams.
Yeah. Verona, Milan, those little assholes, they let me down once again. I never liked Tudor. I never liked him as an assistant coach. And him as a head coach, he's even worse. I thought he was going to do the Juventini a favor for the first time in his career. And leading 2-0 against Milan at the half, it was looking great. Milan didn't look as sharp, especially in the first 30 minutes. They looked discombobulated. But, it was going fantastic for Verona. And then, Pioli, the man who I've always backed as a Milan coach, a lot of Milan fans even doubted after last season, after the fall. They've kept their faith, and I don't know what happened in that locker room. I would love to see what happened, but I don't know what he said, but it just motivated the hell out of Milan. And they came in with a fire lit up under their ass. And like Enzo said, Giroud, he just keeps on scoring that man. And he scores when it matters. He scores in the important games. And the second that ball went in the back of the net, it motivated them. And once again, a controversial penalty for Milan. You know, if it was Juve who got that call, you know, the headlines would be everywhere. Like, we're going to talk about Juve-Roma in a second with the headlines there. But I feel like it was a bit controversial of a penalty, but nonetheless, it was given, and Kessier, he scored it. And then that own goal, I feel like it was just his... I feel like it was just his, like, audition tape to audition for fucking Milan and say, hey, sign me up. I want to be on this Milan team. And I feel like that's what it was, but it was unlucky from him. And Milan walked away with all 3 points. It just goes to show you just the passion. It's never really over until the final whistle blows. And you 2-0 down, you could come back and win 3-2. We've seen it so many times happen now. So Verona just has to keep their heads up and never let that slip again, because that's just an embarrassment at this point.
Yeah, it was a soft penalty, but at the end of the day, I think it was a penalty. Like, the way that the referees call penalties nowadays, I think any contact that you see, depending, even if it's soft, they'll call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on the topic of Milan, before we move on, they just suffered a defeat to Porto, and Inter has won 3-1.
And it's not looking promising for Milan in the Champions League, unfortunately. It's not even looking promising in the Europa League at this point.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Milan in Europe at the moment. So, yeah, there's a quick update on them. And to be honest, I got to do the post games for these games. So it's the Juve and the Roma right now, just to get out of the way, so I get my thoughts done, and then Danny can finish off with Napoli Torino. Yeah, Juve Roma. Where do I start off here? I don't know where to start off. Going into the game, I didn't think we'd win at all. I was pretty confident that we'd lose this game. Just knowing how Roma is in big games, they've never shown me any reason to be confident in them winning a big game, and there's nothing different here. But to be honest, they actually came out pretty well, better than usual in a big game. Usually the first 20 minutes we get destroyed in a big game, and then we fight back all game, but then it's just never enough. This time around, we actually came out pretty well. I thought we played some good football. We tried getting some chances, but as always, Juventus are a very strong defensive team, so credit to them, they did well. Just keeping their shape, like always, you know, when you're playing Allegri, that's what you're going to get. And Juventus go up 1-0. To be honest, out of nowhere, they didn't really do much up to that point. And a great ball in from De Sciglio, I'm 99% sure it was him. Great ball, he played great that game. And hit off Bentancourt and hit off Keane and went in. So a strange goal, but they both made great runs to get to it. And then the first Orsato masterclass, or in this case, disaster class of the game. Cuadrado in the build-up handballed it. Nothing was called. It wasn't even near his side at all. He extended the arm to control the ball, or else it would have been out of bounds, and this whole goal would have never happened. But, they checked the VAR for, what was it for? An offside? They're checking for something, but they ignored
the ball. They checked for the offside.
Yeah, which I don't know why.
Offside. So they were checking to make sure Moise Keane or Bentancur, someone was offside. Even I think they were checking for De Sciglio too, if he was offside. And it took a little while, so I'm not sure what was that room.
I guess they forgot to look for the handball prior to the build-up too.
Yeah, and I don't know why they're looking for an offside. Nobody was even close to being offside. I don't know why it took so long as well, but... Yeah, the handball, I saw it when it happened. I got up and started pointing, and then they just completely ignored it. And, yeah, Juventus go up 1-0. And, by the way, this is no diss towards Juventus, because they can't control the referee's actions. Well, in the past, but I don't know about now. But, this is completely Orsato. It's always him. It's always been him. He's always been like this, not only for Roma Juve, but Roma against any other team. This guy's a joke of a referee. And, so whatever, 1-0 Juventus, hard pill to swallow, you know, we're playing good up to that point, and then for them just take the lead like that from a goal that shouldn't have been a goal, which sucks. Then the rest of the game, you know, we're doing pretty well. He was doing well. Nothing really much is happening, to be honest. Both teams are kind of trying to find their... I feel like Allegri and Mourinho both like to play counterattack football, and it seemed like both teams didn't want the ball. They wanted the other team to have the ball, so the other team can counter. It was kind of funny to watch the tactics go at each other, but Yeah, eventually I think we'll skip to the big talking point of the game, the penalty for Roma right before halftime. Tammy got through on goal. He got, I think just, I don't think he got touched, but he just fell over. I think he slipped or something. And maybe the momentum of his run sent him down. And then the ball fell to Henrik Mkhitaryan, who went to go chip it to Tammy for a tap-in. Chesney took down Mkhitaryan, which caused a penalty, and then the ball into Tammy, who put it in. There's a lot of debate on if he should call the penalty, handball on Mickey. I've never seen so many different calls that could have been called in one situation. Everyone's looking at different things. So I'll try and break them down one by one. First of all, the handball on Mickey. People are calling for, saying as he went down by Chesney, because obviously he tackled him. That's why Mickey went down. The ball hit Mickey's hand, and it went to Tammy Abraham. But if you look at the official study out rules, which if anyone wants to go look, it's online. You can find it very easily. As it reads here, I'm going to read it word by word. Accidental handball that leads to a teammate scoring a goal or having a goal-scoring opportunity will no longer be considered an offense, which means, if you understand that, basically means if you're going down and it comes off your hand, it's not considered a handball because you can't control it. You have to break your fall of your arm. So that, judging by the rules of the Serie A, that is not a handball. So that's the first thing. And number two, with the whole timing of the whistle from Orsato, that's really annoyed me. I saw many different angles on Twitter of when he actually blew the whistle. The ball was, first he didn't call the pen at the very moment. There's no call. Then you can see Orsato clearly look at Tammy Abraham as the ball is heading towards him. And as the ball is about to reach his foot, then he blows the whistle because he realizes, well, I don't know if this is why, but it's a clear goal scoring opportunity for Roma, and he blew the whistle before he can take it. And then he said at the end of the game to Cristante or someone, he said, you can't play an advantage off a foul in the box. Yes, you can. It's kind of alarming how an official referee doesn't know that his own rules to the sport he's officiating in. You can play the advantage off a foul in the box. It's been done many times before in the past. And for him to say that just shows how much of a clown that man is. The guy's a joke of an official. And, yeah, a clear goal for us was ruled off. And then he says to Cristante, it's not my fault you missed the penalty. Like, just the arrogance in that alone just shows the guy's just a joke and a clown of a human being. And I never want that guy to officiate another Roma game again. And I'm pretty sure I've said this on the podcast about the same guy, Orsato, in the past. I've said this a million times in the past. It's always him.
I think he was the same ref last time Roma played Juve.
Yeah, he's always the ref for Roma Juve. And most Roma big games, it's always him, man. If you want to go on his Facebook, you can see him with Juve gear in the last 10 years ago. So celebrating a Scudetto with his family. So there, and that's all you need to know about Orsato. And yeah, that was all the controversy in that play. I'm not blaming Juventus. I'm blaming the man in charge of the match. I see on Twitter usually when people complain about a call, they attack the team, not the official. I'm attacking the ref because the ref's the guy that made the decision. Chesney didn't call the penalty. It was Orsato. He's the one that called it. So. Yeah, if you look at the angle on Twitter, you'll find it anywhere. As the ball was heading towards Tammy, that's when he called the pen, not when the actual foul happened, which that's the whole problem I have in the situation. You can't do that, and you can't say you can't play an advantage because you can. It's the rule. And the handball rule, like I said, it's an official said, yeah, rule book. If you want to look it up, go ahead. You can read into it. Those are just the facts of the situation. But other than that, other than the controversy, it was a good match. I think both teams are pretty even. I don't think any team really had control of this match. We had our moments going forward. And, yeah, I think both goalkeepers didn't really much have, I can't even speak right now, didn't have much to do throughout the match. But, yeah, Juve won, we lost another big game, and at the end of the day, whatever happens with the ref, it's still lost in our record. And now we have Napoli coming up, probably going to lose that one too, and then we have Milan in 2 weeks, and we're going to lose that one too probably, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Juve got the win here, and Dan, if you want to add anything, go ahead.
No, and you covered it perfectly. It was just a very controversial game with the Tammy goal that was disallowed because he called a penalty. And then also, too, on that penalty, if you watch the replay, you see Chiellini running into the box before Bertuzza kicked the ball.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I completely forgot about that.
That one, too, that should have been called back.
Another one.
I also saw a debate saying that they should have checked Chesney's foot. They said that he might have been off the line, but look at the replay. It looked like he had one foot on the line now when he made the save. But they should have called it back because of Chiellini running into the box. That's an infringement. They should have taken the penalty. But overall, Juve got the 3 points. Orsato had a disaster class. What else is new with that guy? And that guy's supposed to be the quote-unquote best ref in Italy. If that's the best ref in Italy, then we need new officiating because that guy, he is he's terrible. I personally didn't like him. My dad watching the game, he goes, oh my god, I can't believe this guy's reffing the game. He's terrible. Even my grandfather too. He said this ref's terrible. Like even people who barely watch Serie A, but they watch the big games, know he's terrible. People in other country know, other countries know he's not the best official. But at the end of the day, Juve picked up the 3 points. Roma, you have a tough game coming up against Napoli, but I think they'll bounce back and they'll give Napoli a run for the money. Jose is a very good coach, and he knows how to win these big games. He knows how to bounce back, and Sunday's going to be a very interesting match.
Yeah, French, please don't give me a headache. I'm interested to see what you have to say.
I just want to say this, Enz. I feel like the handball, it could have been called, but at the same time, I think it was a very 50-50 call if it was called or not. I could see why it could have been called, but I could also see why it wasn't called. And, you know, that goal by Moise Keane, it threw me off at first because I thought Bentancur had scored it from the first couple of angles. And I was confused why Moise Keane was doing 50 celebrations. But after showing like the fifth replay, they finally showed a good angle where it showed it bounced off Moise Keane's head. And that's like the reason why the ball went in the net. So I still don't agree with the 50 celebrations for scoring one goal, but you know, that's Moise Keane. That's how he celebrates. Zaniolo, I think that man kept giving me heart attacks during the game. He did one skill move and three defenders went flying and fell to the floor. So I feel like if he didn't get injured, this could have been a very different game. And, I felt like he took his anger out on Bonucci a little too much there. I got scared when Bonucci was on the floor for 5 minutes, just holding his chest. I thought he was going to go home on a stretcher and, I was going to have to start hating Nicolò Zaniolo, but he was able to get up. I feel like, Enzo's actually told me this, conspiracy theory he's had, and it's starting to make sense now. De Ligt has not played, a game against Nicolò Zaniolo since the incident.
And
he's always either hurt or injured or sick or something why he can't play. And honestly, I love De Ligt. I think he's a fantastic defender. But I think if De Ligt played today, I definitely don't think that result would have happened. You could see the experience Chiellini and Bonucci have beside each other. And I think that's one of the key reasons why we didn't concede to Roma. Well, minus that controversy with Tammy Abraham. I feel like that goal itself, if Orsato was to blow the whistle, I feel like he shouldn't have blown the whistle. But since he did blow the whistle, he can't just let the goal stand. And the penalty, I was shocked. I felt like I was dreaming. Wojciech Szczęsny actually saved something important. I didn't know how to react. You could see the emotion in the players hugging Szczęsny because they know he's shit. He knows he's shit. So I think they actually were just all shocked that he saved a penalty, especially from Vertonghen. I'm going to be honest. I think Abraham got in Vertonghen's head. Obviously, it was clear that he wanted the penalty. And they weren't arguing, but Abraham kind of asked for the penalty. And I guess Vertonghen said, no, I'm taking it. And I guess kind of maybe got in his head now. Because now he's at home thinking, shit, I should have gave the ball to Tammy. Maybe he would have scored. And I think it messed up with his head after. But nonetheless, you know, I'm grateful for Szczęsny that game. It's probably one of his best performances in the past 3 years, if I'm being completely honest. He did his job like he was supposed to. Decilio, for me, was man of the match. I've never seen him play so good before. I feel like he's in contender to fight Alexandro for that starting spot if he continues that performance. But other than that, Enzo, I just have one question for you. I said this in the podcast last week. You and Danny laughed at me. There was one man in a suit and there was one man in a t-shirt. One man won and one man lost.
I don't think that suit had a whistle in it.
Well, no, but we've been over this. I feel like if you walk in, if the Roma players walked in and they saw Mourinho in a suit, I feel like it catches them off guard and they're like, oh shit, this is serious. I feel like they play with an extra bit of motivation. I feel like you look at your manager and he's wearing a t-shirt, you're like, okay, that's Mourinho, I'm going to listen to him. You look at Mourinho in a suit, you're like, that's a different breed. That I'm going to make sure we win this game. There's something about it, but I'm just saying that the facts are in the pudding. Allegri won, he was in a suit. Mourinho lost, he wasn't in a suit.
Yeah, right. Maybe if Forsato saw Mourinho in the suit, maybe he would have blew his whistle 5 seconds later, pointing towards the center half line for a goal. So maybe you're right. But yeah, that wraps up Roma Juve. I really wanted to break down the game more on what actually happened in the game, but it's really hard to when, you know, three or four things that shouldn't have happened. And really had to break that one down. I feel like that's all talk around the match. To end out this pod, Napoli-Torino. Napoli, you know, they won 8 in a row, which is incredible. Like we mentioned early in the podcast, they've been looking good. Insigne missed another penalty, which has been happening a lot recently. So, Dan, I'm sure you want to touch up upon that. Napoli fans are calling for Osimhen to take penalties, and there's a lot of talk around that. But, yeah, they struggled, but they found a way to win. And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters at the end of the game. Is who won the game and who got 3 points. So, Dan, what do you think about it? And break it down.
Yeah, no, it was... We didn't play too bad throughout the whole match, but there was a time where we were dominant. We had a lot of possession. We had a lot of chances. And then on the free kick, Di Lorenzo won the penalty. Once again, our set pieces, especially from free kicks, have been shot. Like, I've been in shock how good they were. I've never seen Napoli do so many creative plays in my life. So Di Lorenzo won the penalty. Insigne missed another poor penalty. It wasn't like he put it like in a good spot where Milinkovic Savage's brother had to save it. That's what he's going to refer him to. As a goalie for Torino, he saved it. It was a poor penalty. It looked like he was trying to do the Jorginho with that little jump and put it low. For me, as a penalty goalie, especially as a goalie, if you put in a top corner or in a corner, goalie should never be able to save it. And then if you put it low, it's always a risk that it's not going to go in the corner. But for me, Insigne should just blast it to the top corner. But easier said than done. I think now it's time that we need a new pen taker. Politano can take them. Zielinski can take them. Ruiz can take them. Especially Osimhen. We paid big money for him. He's been scoring goals. I feel like he should be on the pen duty, but at the end of the day, Insigne is probably going to be taking the next one. He's the captain of Napoli. He's been there for a while. Most probably the most experienced player on their side when it comes to pen taking, so he'll probably remain taking them. But overall, I was very satisfied with the way we played. There's a few times where Brecolo from Torino, he's a pretty good player. Walked in, Ospina made some big saves for us and kept a clean sheet for us. So now it's going to be the debate who should be starting. But as of right now, you got to go with the hot hand. You got to go for Ospina. And then we scored a goal with Di Lorenzo. What a beautiful ball in and then a beautiful run. But it was called back from VAR, inches offside. And then we bring in Mertens. And when I say he changed the game, he changed it a lot. He did a beautiful 1-2 with Koulibaly and especially Osimhen getting that little flick. But the fact that Koulibaly was in the 1-2 and he didn't mess it up tells you a lot how quality he is. And then a beautiful ball in, got blocked. And then the deflection off clearance off of Almas's back. Perfect height for Osimhen to find the corner. Beautiful header in. Gives us the 1-0 lead. And it just, the moral of our season so far, Napoli do not give up. They fight till the 90th minute. And it's just a that's one thing I loved about this team now. They just don't give up. We can be down 2-0, 1-0. And we'll always fight till the end. Hopefully that could be the moral of the story from now to the end of the season, because it seems like there's times where Napoli, it looks like they don't have it, and then they end up losing these games that we're supposed to win. Hopefully the confidence with Spalletti now can help us win. We're off to a very good start. We just need to continue this. We have a tough match on Thursday against Legia, Warsaw. So it's always a tough place. It's always a tough match playing these teams, especially on a Thursday. And then we have to focus on Roma on Sunday. So it's going to be a tough little two-game stretch. But hopefully Napoli can pick up the 3 points in both respective matches.
Yeah, no, huge win for Napoli, setting up a big game for Roma-Napoli for a potential new record to be broken. So looking forward to that. Champions League games coming up, United and Atalanta, Zenit, Juventus, which will all be taking place tomorrow for us. And this podcast will probably come out on Tuesday, so yeah, probably tomorrow for you guys too. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Our social media handles are @SixAdCalcio on both Instagram and Twitter. We'll be back next week reviewing maybe some Champions League games if some interesting stuff goes on, and then obviously recapping big games like Roma-Napoli this upcoming weekend. So once again, thank you for listening. See you next week. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, guys.